This is the Lord, the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Yes, on mute still.
I can't push the button. Y'all have to wait. I'm still pushing the button. There it is. It's on. God can hear me if you can't.
You had it on. Start on now. Try it one more time. Turn it off.
I just can't go so far. I don't know. I can go a long way. Let's pray, folks. Father, as we gather today, there's a lot of things that's going on around us. Things that would tend to separate us from one another. Things that would tend to separate us from you. We would pray that as your church gathers to worship you, that you would just take away the barriers in those areas that I mentioned at the beginning. Truly, you are God. You are high and lifted up. And you're in control of all things. And we would pray that you would work in us to give us the opportunity and the privilege to meet you here in a way that would produce a worship that would be worthy of a God like you. Worthy of the God who created all things. Worthy of the God who has called us out of the masses to be your people for this very service. To worship you. To glorify you. And enjoy you. Lord, as we would gather, we would pray that truly you would be glorified in what we say and do here, and we give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As we would come and acknowledge that we are sinners, which we do, we would come and we are acceptable to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has dressed us in the righteousness of Christ. He's prepared us for this very worship. And as we would come and enter into that worship, we would acknowledge before Him and each other that we have sinned, that we have fallen short of His glory. And as we would do that, we have that assurance that Jesus Christ came and died for those sins. And God, having forgiven us of those sins, that we are perfect in His sight, and we give Him praise and thanks for the opportunity to know Him and to worship Him today in an acceptable manner. In Jesus' name. Now, Christians, what is it that you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Now let us continue our worship as we turn to hymn 180 and sing together. I will sing the wondrous story. Come turn these lights on. The big lights flood for me.
It's on.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't see a thing. So, what y'all get today is strictly from the Lord. And that's the truth. Hopefully, it would be every day. Maybe that's better. I can't say it is. But folks, I'm going to tell you what, that's not better. Let's worship the Lord. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Your word is on my tongue.
You hem me up behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Where can I go from your spirit?
Where can I flee from your presence?
If I go up to the heavens, you are there.
If I make my bed in the dust, you are there.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea,
even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me,
even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is a light to you.
The Lord bless the reading of His word. Okay, it's time now that we will step into that aspect of this service, where we will be ordaining and installing officers. You know, rightfully so, by the Book of Church Order and the tradition of the church for many, many years, that this particular aspect of the work of the church is something that should have a whole service built around it from beginning to end. We have, over the years, seem to relegate that these things that are so important to the Lord and to His church to a situation to where it is just something to go through the motions to get it done. And that is really a travesty. A travesty. As we would come to this aspect of this service, truly this should be the service. God has called the leaders of His church out. It's not something that we, as the congregation and as the elders, has done. And so we fill the position, and so we install them, and then they're on their own. As we would consider that, we have a tendency to wonder, why is it that sometimes it seems that it's so difficult for elders and deacons, the leaders of the church, to get the work done and to do the work? A part of that is that as far as we would see, as we would go through this aspect of the worship of God in installing the elders, that this is something that doesn't seem to be all that important from the get-go. It's just something, okay, you're an elder, you're a deacon, or you are an officer of the women of the church. Okay, come to church on such and such a day, we're going to install you. And we'll do that in a short time. Just something, we'll get it done and let it go. And so now you're an elder, now you're a deacon, now you're a member, an officer of the women of the church. The church is expressing in that way that we go about doing this that they are very important. And consequently, in the eyes of the elders and the deacons and the leaders of the women in the church, there's that tendency to think that, well, it's not that important to the church. It must not be all that important. Let me tell you this. This church didn't elect you. God chose you first. You are God's person in whatever role it is in the leadership of this church. He chose you there. He put you there. And there is no higher sanction of the importance of your role as leaders in this church than the fact that God has called you out of His church to be leaders of the church. And we need to understand that and communicate that to one another. We need to outwardly be praying for our elders and deacons and our leaders and the women in the church. And all the others, the children's ministry, all of those things. Because God cares. God says these particular offices are important. And He's called each and every one of us to be an expression of to the reality of how important your office and your service is in those elected officers. And so it's important that we begin to take these things as important as they are. Now, with the elders and the deacons that are being installed and ordained today, come forward, please. Oh, wasn't that long? Are the same for all offices of the church. We have deacons that are being installed today. Brent, you come down too. They're already down. Okay. I could do the women in church. The questions are pretty much the same. But we'll wait. We don't want to overload the front. I've probably got two masks on me, but I don't know where they are. That is right there. How about give me that? Thank you. But let me say that these questions are important. This is not something we just want to run through. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are originally given, to be the inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scripture? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, you will, on your initiative, make known to your session the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow? Do you?
Rather.
Do you approve of the form of government and discipline of the Presbyterian Church in America in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity? Do you? Do you accept the office of ruling elder or deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an officer. Do you?
I do.
Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord? Do you? Do you promise to strive for the purity, peace, and unity and edification of the church? Do you? At this time, we will be ordaining an elder today.
Huh?
A deacon. All right. As I was looking over the order of worship and reading the questions and all of that, I have a book of church order. And as I was reading over that and looking to see how to fall out and all, I was reading pretty much the same thing out of the book. Well, actually, a book of common prayer that I used to use. A little book about like that. And when I got to that part, I looked down, and Joe Beal had marked in the prayer for those that were being ordained, where there's just one that he would, that would ask the question, and it would say, the prayer would ask the question, it would say he rather than they, because one's multiple. And right at the bottom of that particular prayer, it had on there Benjamin Bryce Clark. That was when your dad was being ordained in this church as a leader. That is amazing. Let me tell you what. This is true. I haven't seen that book for probably 6-7 years. And it was on a coffee table underneath on the shelf. And I was sitting there and I was reading all this stuff that he read. And I glanced over and I saw it. I said, well, look at that. And I got that out. But that's heritage. That's heritage. And we ought to know that. And we ought to remember that. That one day, your dad stood for you. And he was ordained into the service of the divine. That is quite a thing. You stand today in the footsteps of your dad. It's important that you understand. Now, you have just agreed to all of these questions. And now, as it is time for you to be ordained, I would ask, can you kneel? I don't know whether you can or not.
I
want you to sit right here.
Sound fine. I can
hear you. Fine, if you would do that. Now, elders, there's not so many of us, but we can't gather close enough to put our hands on him. And what I want you to do is have a prayer for him as we set him aside for service. You start.
First, I would like to just thank you that we gathered in the presence, Lord. Lord, we raise up to you today, Lord. Lord, may you just guide his footsteps as he enters into the leadership of this church.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this man that's standing before me, kneeling before us. Father, I thank you for his family. I thank you for the legacy of service that his family has given to this church and to your kingdom, Father, your church. And Father, I pray for him now as he becomes and takes this office of deacon in this church. And Father, I pray that you'll go before him. Father, I pray that you will equip him for the ministry for the days ahead. And I pray that you'll use him in a mighty way for your kingdom and for your glory.
Lord, we thank you for bringing him to this family back to level. Thank you for his willingness to serve. And we thank you for his nomination, his election to this office. Father, we know that didn't happen in the fall of this year, or 2020, It happened at the beginning of the time. You know, since the beginning of the time, we've been here in this very minute doing this. We thank you for your wonderful plan. We thank you for your ways. We thank you for your time that we don't understand because we're just sinning men and women. But we thank you for being our God. Please thank you for the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, what a privilege it is to be leaders in your church. So often that the world would consider being a leader or an office holder, that it would think that that particular service is one to be sought because it would be one of such teaching and it would lift people out of the norm and put them in a higher place. And many people seek positions of office. That's not the way it is in the church. We would pray that you would help us to understand that these offices are offices of service. And we would pray that having called these men and women to be leaders in your church, that you would prepare them for whatever it is that they face. And whatever it is, they must go through for your service and ministering to your church. Lord, would ask that you would give wisdom, added measure of grace to them all, but especially Benny as he is coming and is looking for ordination, that you would confirm his calling to him, that you would work faithfulness in him for your glory, that he might experience all the blessings that are his in serving you as a deacon of this church. We thank you for him and his family. I would ask that you would continue to have your hand of blessing upon them. And now, Father, we give you praise and thanks for all of this. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll give you a hand for fellowship. You just snatch right up.
That's right.
Okay, just a moment. We're not quite through. I now pronounce and declare that these men have been regularly elected, ordained, and installed as ruling elders and deacons in this church, agreeable to the word of God and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such, they are entitled to all encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not through yet. To the congregation, these men are installed. These are men that God has called through you. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these men? Do you promise to yield to them all that honor, encouragement, and obedience of the Lord to which their office, according to the word of God and the Constitution of this church, entitles them? Do you? If you do, stand, please. Well, see that? God has confirmed through his church this reality, and you are his leaders. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you giving you praise and thanks for this opportunity to be involved in the work of your church. We would ask that these men would truly, truly find everything they need to serve you and your church in you. May they come to you early. Draw them to yourself and show them your promises fulfilled in their lives, that this church would prosper and they would be satisfied in their work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. For the women and the church leaders, please come down. everything I said earlier is just as real in your service in this church as it is for the men that stood here. You did not volunteer in and of yourself. You might have raised your hand, but God did that. He did that. And he gives you the opportunity to have the blessing of serving him in this church. It's important. It's important that you know that. It's important that congregation knows that. That they will support you in their prayers and so forth. These are the questions. They sound a whole lot like the others, just not as long as what we went through earlier. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you? Are you thoroughly acquainted with the function and responsibilities of the office to which you have been elected? Do you? Are you? Do you promise to faithfully perform all the duties of this office as unto the Lord? Do you? Will you support the officers, the goals, and activities of the women's ministry with your presence, your prayers, and your physical and mental energies? This is to the women of the church. Do you gratefully acknowledge the willingness of these women to serve you and the Lebanon? As the Lebanon Presbyterian Church and their elected capacity, do you? Stand up. Is the women in church woven? Woven.
The women.
The women. Women in church. But let's get this right. Women in the church. You see that? All of them. All of them. And y'all do the same for them. I declare that these women have been duly elected and installed as women's ministry officers of Lebanon Presbyterian Church. That's right. Under me to look through scripture, he would find that there are many roles of women in the church. And they are important. Would ask that you would help these women to understand that they aren't second-class Christians. That you love them just as much as you love their husbands. You love them as much as you love any minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You love them. You call them to service. And we would pray that you would draw alongside of them and encourage them and give them a love for serving you as they serve you in this congregation. We pray now that you will be greatly glorified as these women take these positions in the women of the church, of the Lebanon Presbyterian Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a moment of silence in a loud, loud world. A world that is screaming through the airwaves. Noise. Lord, we pray that noise would not interfere with us, your people, worship of you here in this church or out in the world where we live. As we would seek to worship you every day, every moment of every day that we live. Help us to understand that in your world, our world, that there is peace. And there's opportunity for silence. There's opportunity for us to just hear you. And we would pray that you would bring us into your presence often throughout every day. That we would maintain our foundation, which is you. That we would not give away our peace and our comfort so easily. But we would remember and be settled in our lives as we meet with you and find your promises confirmed to us as we meditate on who you are and what you do, and who we are and what we are to do. You are a God that is high and lifted up. You called us out of the masses to be your people, to show this world what you are like. It is in these times of such turmoil and chaos that we, your church, have the greatest opportunity to show the world who you are. We would pray that you would work in us a peace and a comfort, a settledness, a contentedness in all that is going on all around us, Lord, in such a way that we might experience the joy of our salvation and bring you much glory. We would ask that you would lead us in the ways that we should go. That you would make us sensitive to that leading. We would ask that you would give us a hunger and a thirst after your word, that we might know truth and do truth. Father, we, your church, is a real oasis in this world. Help us to begin to be that. Give us all that we need. We come in supplication asking that you would work in us. Fill us with that confidence that what you say you will do, you will do. Help us to really embrace the fact that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Give us that assurance that as this world and all of its desires to pull us into the fray, and all of that noise, Father, we would pray that we would hear your word whispered in our ears. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, help us to remember who we are. Help us to know that as your children, all the promises you ever made to your people are yes in Jesus Christ. Fill us with the knowledge that you are God. And there is no other. We would ask that you would work in our hearts and our minds to really believe that all is well, because you are God and you are in control. This world is your world. Even though it would disclaim that, the reality is, and you've given us the privilege to know it, that this is your world. You created it. And though we would find that there is a lot of ugliness in this world, there is a lot of hatred, chaos, disease. Lord, as much as that is so, there is so much good in this world. We would pray that you would help us to seek the good rather than the bad. That we would be more grateful and thankful to you than we are. We would thank you for this privilege to gather today and give you worship. We remember that there are places in this world that is not the case. That there are places in this world that it is illegal for your church to gather. Father, there are factions in this country that would seek to bring that to be. But we would understand that even in that, you bless your church every day in ways we can't even begin to imagine. So we would pray for your church today, here in America and across this whole world, that you would strengthen us, Lord, to be what you have called us to be. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven, in this world, but not of it. Not better than the world, because we are sinners saved by grace. We have no merit in ourselves at all. If there is any good in us, Lord, it is your work in us. Thank you for that work. You tell us that you are conforming us to the image of your Son. That's our destiny. And one day we will see you face to face. We'll be like you are, and we will reign with you forever. That seems a long way from where we are right now. But Lord, and who you are and where you are, we find that you are here with us right now. And in reality, the fact is that we are in your kingdom today. You are the ruler, and you have filled us with a joy that is inexpressible. And we would pray that you would stir that up in us, that would bring us to be such light in the world and the joy of our salvation, that the world would know that there's a God in heaven worthy to be praised. Thank you now. Father, for those who are sick and suffering in this church, we pray you draw alongside of them. Take your people, meet their needs through your people. But, Lord, only you can really witness to them in the depths of their hearts and minds. And we would pray that for your people, you would confirm your promises to them, that they would be comforted. We would pray for their healing. We pray that whatever it is that they must face for you, that you would strengthen them for that, and that they would receive the blessing of glorifying you in whatever their struggle is by depending upon you. Father, we pray for this nation. We pray for the world. We know that you care about it. And now, Father, whatever of those things are that are causing trouble in the hearts of your people, that you would displace them and that you would fill those areas with assurance. And we give you praise and thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just trying to figure out where we are in this bulletin. We're going to do the offertory inside, or we're going to do it?
Well, the plates are back there. We just have this offertory prayer for things.
Okay. Well, let's have a prayer for the offering, and then make sure you place them in the plates at the back. Let's pray. Father, who was seeing this whole service is praying. They all ought to be. As we would come, we thank you for the opportunity to gather, and in the gathering that we bring with us a portion of that which you have blessed us with individually as families and individuals. And we bring a portion of that back to you. It gives us a great privilege to be involved in the work that you are doing. But it is also a thanksgiving and acknowledgement that you are the provider of everything that we have. We would pray that as we bring these monies, that you would move the deacons and the elders to use this money in such a way that would further the work of your church and bring you much glory. And we thank you for the privilege. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. probably about this time in this worship service, you folks are beginning to think that we haven't even gotten to the sermon yet. And we got communion today. Today, I don't have a full-blown sermon for you. What I do have is some scripture with just a little bit of comment, not much of that. But the sermon will be preached later. Because what we do right now is just to talk about what communion symbolizes. It tells us something about the blood and the sacrifice and so forth. We could go through the Old Testament and build it out in large terms. But God has kind of just condensed it for us in the New Testament. If I don't turn this thing off, I'm going to get a call. I felt it vibrate. Jesus Christ came into this world to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with the living God. And how he did that, you know already. But I just want to read a little bit out of Hebrews. This first section is coming from Hebrews, starting in chapter 9, 16 through 22. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. And you know what I'm talking about. We don't know the word testament too well. When I first read it, I said, what in the world is that? Folks, we're talking about a will. It's talking about a will. When they testify, the testament is the will of somebody. And that will does not become effective in the life of the people that it is for until the person who made that will dies. That is the terminology here. The testament is the will. The testator is the one who made the will. So that gives us a little understanding there. For a testament or a will is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission of sins. No forgiveness. That's the real, that's the aspect. That was the covenant of works that we saw that was being inaugurated back in the Old Testament. Now we continue in chapter 10, starting with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offered continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Again, picking up on the fact that those Old Testament sacrifices, the blood, and all of that that's kept going. Everywhere you look, can you imagine what it would have been like as an Israelite? That when you sinned, you had to take an animal and it was killed. The blood was shed all around according to the instructions of God. Read Leviticus 3:4 and you find just how bloody it really was. You figure, how many people were in Israel? They can't do all of that at one time. There was a line of people bringing their sacrifices. We don't like to sit in line to get a hamburger. We don't like to sit in line at a bank teller machine. We don't want to sit in line for anything. Think about what it had been back then. Sometimes it would be a day, all day long. Amazing. So we see that. So it just said that the same sacrifices that they offered continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. They could not. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. And it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire." This is Jesus speaking, talking about his Lord, his God, his Father. "Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." Folks, we need to understand what that's saying. It was God's will when he sent Jesus into the world to provide a sacrifice for his people. Jesus Christ would be that sacrifice. Jesus Christ was agreeable, and he came based on the will of his Father that that would happen. Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O Lord." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You get a picture of the fact that we no longer bring sacrifices. That has been done away with. At first, what he's talking about was a covenant of works. Jesus came, he fulfilled all of the covenants of works, offered himself up on a cross for you and me, and instituted the covenant of grace. Therefore, I am not guilty that I need to bring sacrifices. I am forgiven. I am pronounced not guilty before the Lord and in the Lord. That when he looks upon me, he does not see sin and my ugliness and the filth and the deceit in my heart that is desperately wicked. He does not see that. On the basis of what Jesus Christ did, according to these words, he fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law on our behalf. And God has pronounced us not guilty, and he has imputed to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he has pronounced in his word that we are the righteousness of God. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. We have stepped out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he is in the process of revealing that light to us. If he revealed it all at one time, we couldn't stand it. But he is introducing to us that light that is his. We are the light of the world. Starting at verse 11 of chapter 10, it says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, 'This is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin.'" We are blessed beyond measure. The Lord bless the reading of his word. And now, let us enter into the celebration of the feast that is set before us as we anticipate and come to take the Lord's Supper. With the elders coming to uncover Peter's Supper. As we begin to participate in this service, a major part of this service laid down by the doctrine of the church is that we open it with the reading of the institution of that supper by God, by Jesus. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore,
Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let us pray. Father, in your wisdom, you gave us this sacrament. It keeps our minds stayed upon you and what we are about. It even gives us definition. As we become, we are the children of God. We are blessed. We are a holy people. Your own special people. Of all your priesthood. And we would pray that you would help us to confirm that in our understanding. Not only is it that we can read in the scripture that we are different, Lord, help us to be different. Help us to live up to our heritage and our calling. Help us to so walk in this world in such a way that you would be honored and glorified, and that we would experience the great satisfaction of doing what you created us to do, just that, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. As we would come to this table, Lord, we would anticipate taking these sacraments, these elements. Help us to know that the bread that we see and we'll have in our hands, and the wine or the juice that we have, the fruit of the vine, they're just juice. They're just bread. There's nothing magical about them. They are symbols of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. But they don't become the body of Christ nor the blood of Christ as we partake them in any way, sense, shape, or form. They are just symbols of what is happening spiritually as we would come to this table, that we feed spiritually on the body of Christ and we are sustained and everything that we need in this world to live a life is given to us in such a way that will glorify you greatly. We would ask that you would so surround these elements, Lord Jesus, that as we spiritually eat and drink, that you would fill us with your presence, your spirit. And we thank you, O Holy Spirit, for bringing us here. And we would pray that you would make this a meaningful experience for us, but a marvelous worship for yourself, the triune God. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this table, remember, and let me say to those who might be visiting, this table is exclusive to those who know and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, as church. It is not for those who do not believe in Him. This is the Lord's Supper. This is His feast that He has provided for His people. Consequently, what we read just a while ago, for those who would take this juice or this wine and this bread in an unworthy manner, guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. And it says that if that is the case, if that is something that they eat and drink condemnation and destruction upon themselves, those are not my words. Those are the words of the living God here. So it's important for you to understand. And let us say, we don't dislike you if you are not a believer. We don't want you to think that we think we're better than you. We are not. We are all sinners. But those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are sinners saved by grace. We have a relationship with the living God, and that's what this supper is for, the family of God. And we don't ask you to leave if you don't believe. We would ask that you would stay and watch and see us participate in this meal. And we pray that in so doing, the Lord would use this sacrament to verify the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life and bring you to Himself. That one day you would come and you would be able to partake in a safety and experience what it is to participate in the body and breaking of the body and drinking of the blood of Jesus Christ. As we saw in the scripture, it said that Jesus took bread and having blessed it, He broke it. And having done that, He passed it to all of His disciples and said, "Eat of it, all of you." Again, in like manner, the Lord took the cup. And He said, "This is a new covenant in my blood, shed for the remissions of sin for many. Drink of it, all of you." Father, as children, looking upon what we just did, it would seem like that, boy, that's not much. I'll still be hungry when I get home. But Father, help us to understand spiritually what has happened. That's a verification that all the promises You ever made to us, Your people, are yes in Jesus Christ. And in Him, we in Him, and He in us, all of those affected in our lives. And so we would come and give You praise and thanks for the opportunity to gather at this table. As we would gather here, in truth, we would see an expression that we are the children of God. We are Your own special people. And the reality is we are special, but not because we individually or as a church are special. You make us special. And so we would pray that You would swell our understanding to give us that really deep praise and adoration, thanksgiving, supplication before You in prayer. That we would live our lives according to Your power in this world and achieve Your things in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us turn together to Hymn 252. Stand together as we sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Amen.
be the benediction. The grace of God Himself give you peace in every way. Amen.